Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Our topic this morning is entitled, Get a Vision for Your Life That is Only Possible with God. And I'm going to be reading from the Old Testament post-exilic book of Zechariah. I'm going to pay particular attention to Zechariah chapter 4. Now, let me give you some background with regard to Zechariah. As I mentioned earlier, he is a post-exilic author. That is, his prophecy came after the 70-year exile, and he is speaking to the people of God in order to encourage their efforts in the restoration of the temple. They were, of course, discouraged. And so a companion book to study is, of course, the small letter of Haggai. And which is right next to Zechariah. This particular prophecy, that is the prophecy of Haggai, only occurred over a three-month period. And Haggai also had a call to the people of God to build the house of the Lord. God's people had lost the vision of who they are. Or they were. And therefore, their self-understanding had diminished because their spiritual lives were not or had not been built up. So there is a pattern, an extraordinary pattern that we have to understand with regard to the Word of God. He shows us where we are and why we are where we are. If we are being spiritually prosperous, then we know that it's because we have the Word of God primary in our lives. And we are therefore following His revealed will for our lives. If we are not progressing or growing in the faith, then there are things that we need to look at with regard to our spiritual lives. And so Haggai encourages the people of God, and Zechariah encourages the people of God to do the work of God, to follow through with what God wants us to do. And what God wanted them to do. So, this particular book, once again, has to do with the post-Babylonian exilic community. Many of them had gone home. That is about 50,000 return. And this was about 520 BC. Darius was the ruler of the Medes and had been the ruler of the Medes and the Persians. A very important Old Testament word occurs in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. And this is what it reads. Do not be like your forefathers to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says. And so we call this the this particular proclamation formula. Turn from, or the messenger formula. This is what the Lord says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. And the word evil that's used in Hebrew text here is the word ra, and it means the breaking up and ruin of all that goes on within a person's life and within his periphery. It's a very technical and very important Old Testament word. And it's interesting to note that in Western culture, we have an intellectual definition for evil, but not one, not a definition that is very practical. And it is interesting that the West has really never developed a philosophy of evil or an understanding of evil, and hence we can see some of the problems that the West has with morality. It goes deeper than that, but that is part of it. And we see that the West attempts to trivialize evil, the Jew, by means of legal fiat, which is in itself an evil, and in political discourse. If you want to read a really able book on political discourse in the West, there's one book I would turn to by Herbert Marcuse, entitled "One Dimensional Man." It is you will have to labor through it, but it will be worth the labor. Another excellent book is the True Believer. This particular book was written by a San Francisco longshoreman who was also a great scholar. And The True Believer is an excellent book. The depth of these two books and the rigorous treatment of political discourse that by both these authors really, really intense. So I want to bring that out because the people of God have always been and will be challenged by the political climate of their times. And so hence, we get to read about rulers under which certain events occurred. And by the way, Eric Hoffer is the author of the book, The True Believer. It is a small book, but it is highly intense. If you choose to read either of these books, be prepared to spend a great deal of time with them. They will open, hopefully, new vistas of awareness as to what is going on currently in the West. Those are two that I think are worthwhile. And so here we know that the land lay desolate for 70 years, and God's people were enjoined to work to rebuild the temple. They did not have a lot of money, as noted in Haggai 1:6, or manpower. There were crop failures and droughts. Haggai 1, 10 and 11, and also hostile enemies. So please read the book of Ezra. And what is really different about the prophecy of Zechariah is that he had night visions. And so night visions are a new element in prophecy. And so we read that he saw. First we have the term Ra for evil, and it is translated R-A. And then we have Raya in Hebrew, which means to look or view or to realize. And so Zechariah had a series of eight night visions, in chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 6, verse 15. And the angel of Yahweh explains the visions and also acts as a mediator. There are powerful references here in the book of Zechariah to the person of Christ. For instance, he is betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. This is in Zechariah 11, 12, and 13. Christ's hands were pierced, Zechariah 12:10. Christ's people saved, 12:10, and also Zechariah 13:1. Christ was wounded by friends, Zechariah 13:6, and Christ coming on the Mount of Olives, Acts 1:11, and also Christ's coming and coronation, given in Zechariah 14. So it is a book filled with messianic prophecies. Now in chapter 4, we have the prophecy of the golden lampstand and the two olive trees. Once again, Zechariah ministered to discouraged people attempting to accomplish a difficult task. And so here is Zechariah's encouragement given to the people of God through the Spirit of God. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top, and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the light. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, "Who are these, my Lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Now, when we talk about God's relationship with his people, Israel, we talk in terms of exclusivity, for instance, with regard to the law of Moses. We also speak about Jewish particularism in this context as well. But I want you to note the language and God's word to this particular individual. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. And so Zerubbabel is to be encouraged by the power of the Spirit of God within. And God is not going to say to his people, "You may not build my house. You may go off and do what you choose to do." That is not the way God works in history. At strategic epochal times in history, divine events come about or take place. that God has already said would come about. And he moves through certain individuals to accomplish his will, his purpose. Now, the title of the show is Get a Vision for Your Life That Is Only Possible with God. Well, one can go to an individual who is a secular motivational speaker, and he can secularize the message, even take scripture and quote it for his message in order to encourage persons for financial success, for business success. There's nothing wrong with those. Please understand. Those are worthy causes. What I am focusing on here is a vision for one's life that is in line with God's vision for one's life, with God's will for one's life. There are two words that are used in the Greek for the will of God. We have boule, B-O-U-L-E, which is translated, which we define as be determined will of God. Be determined will of God. Then there's thelema, which means God's desirous will. God's desirous will, what he desires to come to pass. Now, there are certain tenses in both the Old and the New Testament, for instance, in Isaiah 9, when speaking about the messianic figure. And there are certain tenses that tell us that certain events will come to pass and that have to do exclusively with the power of God. In the New Testament, particularly in the book of Revelation, there are certain tenses that, for instance, that read, and this was allowed, and this was allowed. God allowed certain things to take place under the oppressive, universal kingdom of the Antichrist. God allowed certain things to take place. And then through the judgment patterns that God has set up to occur during the tribulation and the great tribulation, these judgments are irresistible. They are, in fact, the same judgments that God brought upon Egypt. When under Moses. So we have the same set of judgments that are going to be going on during the tribulation period. And by the way, the word tribulation is from a Greek word that the Greek word or term philipsis, which means the great squeezing. It means great pressure brought to bear. And so, it is a term, philipsis, which means squeezing. The first part of the tribulation period. This lasts 7 years. The first part is, first 2.5 years are called the tribulation. And it's the second half, the second 3.5 years, that is called the great tribulation, the great tribulation. At some point, I will be doing shows on the books of Daniel and Revelation and the prophecies, so we can take a look at Antiochus Epiphanes, and we can take a look at the little horn of Daniel, and we will look at the false prophet in the book of Revelation, and or the man of sin, the Antichrist, that Paul also speaks of. We will take a look at these figures, at these personalities, and what God's word has to say about these events with regard to them. So, Zechariah is spoken to by God. And notice what God says in verse 7. Zechariah 4. What are you, O mighty mountain? What are you, O mighty mountain? Mighty, the mighty mountain of opposition. And the mighty mountain of pressure. What are you before the power of Almighty God? What are you, O mighty mountain? So, Zechariah is being encouraged by the Spirit of God to do the work of God. As you and I need encouragement in the work of God, you have experienced obstacles, and so have I. So, here's what the word says. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. And so it is through the power of the Spirit that Zechariah will be able to see the power of God at work in his life. There are times when you and I are perplexed. There are times when our lives are beset by complexity. And one verse in the book of James chapter 1 that I wrestled with for a very long time. James writes, we are to rejoice when we are surrounded by trials. We are to rejoice when we are surrounded by trials. And I wrestled with that verse a long time. How does one rejoice when one is surrounded by trials? Well, as I studied the word, and now I've been in ministry over 30 years, I've seen people come and go in ministry. I've seen success and failure in ministry. I've seen people who are determined to serve the Lord all of their lives. They had determined that they would follow the will of God. And I've seen these people grow into beautiful specimens of the grace of God. They had realized in their lives what Paul wrote in Romans 8, for all things worketh together for good, and to those who love God. They live this out. Their speech changed into the speech of grace. Their eyes changed. They had the eyes of grace. Their gait on their walk changed. They had the walk of persons who were grace bearers, who lived by grace, who had a vision of grace. They walked as individuals whose lives had been profoundly touched by Christ Jesus. I am thinking of one such person now, a friend whom I hold dear. And he is with his family now, and he is not doing well. But his life made a wonderful and dramatic impact upon my life, and I so appreciate who he is and his testimony and his wife and his children. He has two daughters and a son. He has wonderful grandchildren. I appreciate this person. I value him, and what a wonderful individual. But these grace bearers are something to behold. I see the power of the Parakletos, whom Jesus promised in the Gospel of John, He showed the disciples that if I do not leave in the Parakletos, or in Latin, or the Comforter, and from the Latin Comfortus, which means the strong one, the strong one. The disciples were promised to be supported, or the one who would come alongside them would be the strong one. Zerubbabel would be supported by the Spirit, by the strong one. And so here is a powerful promise, and through the power of God. What are you, O mighty mountain? What mountain are you facing in your life today? You have decided that you're going to live for God. And with that came opposition, both within your heart and circumstantial, that is from the outside. And now you have a mountain because of that massive decision you made to serve the living God. What is that mountain? Now, notice the promise. The promise is given before, then God moves from the promise and he talks about the situation. What are you, Almighty Mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Well, what is a level ground? This is what God says in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. I love this. Zerubbabel started and he finished. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Verse 10 reads, who despises the day of small things? Beloved, if God has given you a work to do, be faithful, be consistent, be determined. Make the massive decision to live for God, and God will see it through. God will give you the power. God will give you the wisdom. He will give you his peace that passes understanding. He will give you the clarity to go about a critical path in order to complete his will. Today we call it a business plan. Some business plans are massive. Others are one sheet. But still, they are memorialized. They are written down as a blueprint. Business plan, a guide. So that the clarity of what we want to do is enshrined before us, and we make that commitment to see it through a business plan and a critical path to go about the implementation of what we have written down. And so visions, excuse me, that is the vision to see that, okay, God has given you this, and God will see it through. God will give you the way through his word. He will direct you through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not to wander, but to do the will of God. To perform that which God has given you to do. Please read Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, and read the book next to it, Haggai. Good morning. My name is Dr. Desai Rich. Have a blessed day.